Today's episode of Locked On Bulls is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a set of 10 uniquely beautiful diamond rings, and they're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com. This exciting collection of truly unique, limited edition diamond engagement rings is available now only at BlueNile.com.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
White, going to jab steps, comes up shooting top three, bam! Put him in the Hall of Fame!
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
What more y'all want me to prove, man?
Levine with a runway, lays it in! Zach Levine!
Find that man every time down the floor.
Host Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Jordan Malley. Jordan, great to see you. Through our 670 score scope. Yep.
Where is he?
And it's right over there, Bill.
Joining me now, Matt Peck, Locked On Bulls podcast, producing podcasts left and right, even in the offseason.
On Twitter, at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Peck.
I don't have Twitter. I don't do anything like that.
And I love what you guys do with the show. I listen to every episode. You guys are one of the best podcasts, period. Y'all keep doing what you do best. I love you guys.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
It's raw.
You can just see the vibe.
Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
Okay, cool. I was hoping it wasn't one of those knucklehead programs.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley, along with me is Matt Peck. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls _ Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Drop your text, your voicemails, anything you got for us, 331-979-1369. Well, Matt, that was not the way that we had anticipated last night going. Hope you're doing well, man. We can get into the game from last night, get into a little bit of Chandler Hutchison news, and discuss what his situation is going on right now, and also touch on a little bit of the Lonzo Ball rumors, too, that are swirling around the Bulls once again. But first and foremost, man, how are you? Brutal, brutal way to lose last night.
What up, Jordan? What up, Bulls Nation? Yeah, man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one to come back from. I mean, not only this Wizards game, but just this stretch of the past five, you know, where you had a mini series against the Knicks. And no disrespect to our guy Tibbs, who has that team playing better than most people expected, but two very winnable games there. You got a mini series against Orlando, of two very winnable games there. And then you got, you know, coming back home against the Wizards, a team that you had already beaten twice this season, who were resting Russell Westbrook on the second half of a back-to-back, who were playing on the second half of a back-to-back, who had lost five of their last seven, all of those losses in double digits. I mean, that just tells you how much this Wizards team has been struggling. So you take those five games, and coming into those five games, the Bulls were right there on the outside, but certainly looking in at the Eastern Conference playoff picture, especially with those ninth and 10th play-in seeds. And you said, hey, maybe the Bulls can, you know, have a nice little five-game winning streak here, or at least go 4-1, at the very least 3-2 to stay in the hunt here, or certainly, you know, make up some ground against these other Eastern Conference bottom feeders. And you go 2-3 in that stretch, capped by that loss to that Wizards team. I mean, There are no excuses for this five-game stretch that we just saw.
Yeah, and look, the Bulls are depleted too, but that's not really an excuse either, because they've been playing well even up to that. They've been killing themselves on their own mistakes. We can get into that in a minute, Matt, but like before the game even happened, I thought there was a lot of interesting news coming out of Bulls camp as well that we should get into. And more specifically, we should talk a little bit about Chandler Hutchison and talk about his impact in this already depleted roster, man. So we got news that he's been sitting out. He's been with the team, but due to personal reasons, he has been, I don't know, I guess, exiled from the team. Not exiled from the team, but not playing. And him and Billy Donovan had discussions just want to preface this with saying that any of our discussion is sort of speculation at this point. Hopefully everything in his life is going okay, family-wise, health-wise, all of that. That being said, man, this is just kind of a very bizarre situation.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of different things that could be going on here, a lot of different things at play. You know, first and foremost, you just hope everything with Hutch and his people are fine. You also got to feel bad for Billy Donovan, and not just Donovan, but all of the NBA coaches this year that are put in this awkward position when it comes to talking about their players, some of whom are, you know, out because of contact tracing, health and safety protocols, some of whom have tested positive for COVID, like Chandler Hutchison did earlier this year, like Sato did earlier this year, because they aren't allowed to say an awful lot to protect the privacy and the medical, you know, history of these players. But, you know, there's a media that wants answers, and there's a fan base that's looking to that media to get those answers. So it's an unfortunate, you know, unfortunately dicey situation that Hutch is in, that Donovan is in. And, you know, we're all basically flying blind here until we get a more conclusive answer as to what's going on.
The one thing that I was thinking about, and I've read a few people float this past too, is that maybe this was a conversation with Donovan that they had over this short two-game period where they went to Orlando, and Donovan addressed it too in pregame before this Wizards game last night, just saying, before anybody asks, wondering why Hutch is sitting on the bench and with the team but not playing, me and him had multiple discussions and very good discussions. And he said he's just going to leave it at a personal matter. And he said he doesn't know when he's going to play again, but will be with the team and doesn't want people to be out there asking every night, why isn't Hutch playing if he's sitting on the bench? Man, this leads me to believe that there was a conversation that was had about either trade me or play me, one of the two options. And I also think about, too, maybe his agents or somebody in his camp has floated to him in, over the last few weeks, hey, man, you might be part of a trade coming up here in the next few weeks. Do you want to risk injury and having to sit on this team behind a bunch of other players for fighting for playing time? You want to keep yourself healthy and maybe you are included in a deal. I feel like that's a conversation that is totally possible that could have happened. I could understand it from Billy Donovan's standpoint is that if I was the head coach, brand new head coach, trying to get these guys to instill into a new system, Hutch has been in and out due to injuries the past couple of seasons, I could see Billy Donovan saying, hey, maybe you think on that for a couple of days and come back and see where your headspace is at. Because Denzel tried this with Jim Boylan and it absolutely did not work. And it ended up putting Denzel at the end of the bench and not playing for the most of the season last year. How do you feel about that? And again, this is just me kind of speculating, thinking about other players' situations in past and how that's kind of fleshed out. But very weird for a first-round pick who's been in and out of the lineup with injuries, not necessarily his fault, to be sitting at the end of the bench when the Bulls are depleted.
I suppose it's possible that's what's going on. We did hear a lot of chatter and a lot of chest pounding from Hutch, like this past offseason and coming into this season. Like on his Twitter, he was just, you know, like very boastful about, you know, you're about to see a brand new Chandler Hutchison, like, look out, I'm about to put my name on this season and all that stuff. And I was sitting here thinking, like, all right, well, you better back that up, because, you know, a couple seasons into your NBA career as a guy who was a 22-year-old rookie, you know, we've seen some things that are okay, kind of, I guess. But like that's as nice as you could be as a Bulls fan talking about Hutch's first two seasons. So to hear all that kind of stuff, you're like, okay, well, it's good for players to have confidence in themselves. You know, parentheses, see Valentine, comment Denzel. But I was like, I thought that was a little bit much considering that the guy was mostly unavailable through his first 2 years. That being said, I think there is another possibility here. And the other possibility is Billy Donovan doing what he can to protect a young player who is eager to get back and prove himself, whereas Donovan is aware that, hey, some of these people that are dealing with COVID and are coming out of having dealt with COVID, whether you're a 24-year-old professional athlete or, you know, somebody middle-aged and not a professional athlete, people are having serious lasting side effects from fighting COVID. Especially those who, like Hutch, as we learned from the Bulls, were actually hit hard by it as far as symptoms, as opposed to a lot of NBA players who are, you know, quote unquote, test positive, but are asymptomatic. Hutch dealt with serious symptoms. We know that. And maybe he is eager to get back and prove himself. And Donovan's trying to be someone who is not only a coach, but a mentor and somebody older and wiser to say, hey, think about this. Do you really think you're ready? Because you are still dealing with this. You might feel okay, but we know that there are lasting side effects, lasting dangerous side effects to people who got hit hard by COVID and made it out of the worst of it. Maybe that's what's going on.
Man, that's a good point, too. I didn't even really think about that, but that's a good point, too. And Billy Donovan is all for his players, too. And so looking out for the best of his players makes a lot of sense as well. I just paired it with the fact that I thought about Otto and the fact that the way that they're kind of... It's hard to describe. It feels like they're kind of tiptoeing around what's going on actually with Otto day in and day out. I understand that they kind of want to leave it a little bit vague as well. But I feel like that there's some type of protection going on with Otto just because of trade value. It makes sense, too. They don't want him to go out there and play 25 minutes in a meaningless game in the first quarter of the season and then end up ruining the rest of his year by hurting himself again. I totally get that. I kind of tied it more into the fact that maybe the Bulls are trying to keep as many of their trade chips as healthy as possible leading up to the deadline, which the deadline, man, is almost a month away. March 25th, I believe, is the deadline. So that's the way that I thought. But maybe you're onto something, too. I could totally buy into what you're saying, too, and believe Billy Donovan. So I guess we're just going to have to kind of wait and see what this, if we get any updates in the next week or 2 weeks with Chandler Hutchison as we move towards the All-Star break.
Because don't you think if Donovan really truly believed that Hutch was available and ready to go, given all of the absences, Markkanen's out, Wendell's out, Otto has been, you know, out with the back, the Bulls, you know, rotation is very much shortening. If Donovan felt okay about Hutch, you know, as just being an available body, we would have seen him in there more than just like a couple spot minutes here and there over the last several games.
Yeah, I think you're right. I totally think you're right, because Hutch could play multiple spots, too. He could play the 3 and the 4, and the Bulls need that help right now. So I'm not sure, man, but we'll have to check back in maybe in a week or two, see kind of where they're at. But I felt like that was an important and intriguing story for Bulls fans to kind of follow up on. And again, I hope everything is okay outside of what we were talking about with Hutchison, because when he's been healthy, he's played halfway decent. And I was somebody that I was on the Chandler Hutchison train this year, man. I was ready for him to have a breakout season and actually show what a first-round pick could do. We'll see. There's still plenty of season to be played, plenty of things to still be happening. Want to get into this game, though, from last night, Matt, because I was kind of crushed. I was kind of crushed last night watching them lose to the Wizards. Before we do that, I want to tell our friends about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. Last night I hit big on under 2.5 threes from DeMarcus Cousins. He only had one last night. And I hit the over prop on Gordon Hayward threes. He was at over 2.5 at plus money. He ended up having 4 threes last night. So pretty decent night on top of a little bit of a parlay win for me. I did that all over at betonline.ag. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, Matt, yeah, it's tough when Russell Westbrook doesn't play, when Davis Bertans is getting his first start in 3 or 4 weeks, trying to get him going, and then watching Denny Avdija do his thing, too. It was a rough watch last night, and just watching the Bulls kind of have to chase a lead consistently throughout the entire game, and then had the opportunity at the end to win it, did all that work to win it. And man, Zach just misses the shot.
I mean, other than the entertaining Levine, Beal, you know, back and forth, that was a crap game.
Correct.
Both teams played poorly. Outside of Zach and Beal, every person in that game should be embarrassed about that game. I mean, that's maybe a bit of an exaggeration. A couple of the Bulls role players were not terrible in their efforts. You know, another great game from the old Wiley vet, Thad Young, who had 14, 6, and 5 off the bench. But, I mean, just awful. It sucks that it came down to Beal possession, Beal drives, Beal draws a foul. He splits a pair to give the Wizards a 2-point lead. Ensuing possession, Zach, the lane opens up. He drives, he beats Beal off the dribble. And then all of a sudden, there's this gigantic wall of a man, you know, Alex Len, who comes into the paint and gets in the way of Zach's finish. Zach makes a last-second adjustment in the air, tries to avoid contact and do a little scoop lefty layup. He misses the layup. Bulls lose. You know, Zach said after the game he thought that he did a good enough job creating contact there to try and draw the foul, but I guess I should have just made the layup. And the answer is yes. Yes to both of those. Did he create some contact? Yes. Did he create enough? No, not in my opinion. I thought that there were far more egregious no calls on Zach LaVine drives earlier in that game than the final one where Len came over. I do not believe he was in the restricted area, and I believe he went straight up with his two arms, just putting a body in front of Zach and contesting the shot. He made Zach alter his shot in midair, and it worked. It sucks, but that's how it went down. And it sucks that that happened at the tail end of a, you know, another amazing offensive virtuoso night from Zach LaVine, because the rest of his teammates pretty much played like crap.
Why is Alex Len a Bulls killer? I'm looking at his career stats, man, and as soon as I saw him inserted in the lineup, I'm like, fuck. I'm like, he killed us in that like 4-overtime game against Atlanta a couple years ago. It seems like he's just beat up the Bulls time and time again. He's played 16 games against the Bulls, started in 8 over those his career. He's got the best field goal percentage out of any other team he's played in his career against the Bulls. He's shooting 60% against the Bulls, shooting 55.6% from 3. Matt, he's averaging the second highest points and second highest rebounds against any other team in his career against the Bulls. So Alex Len, for sure, was that should have been a point of emphasis yesterday.
Is he an even bigger Bulls killer than his teammate Ish Smith? Because I swear
yes.
to God.
Yes, Ish Smith is a Bulls killer too. So the Wizards had two Bulls killers out there last night. It's so annoying. But I knew Alex Len was going to do things that were going to irritate us last night, and sure enough, he did. But yeah, he's averaging 11.5 points, 7.5 rebounds against the Bulls, and a true shooting percentage over 65%, which is ridiculous for Alex Len. That being said, man, you're right. Zach should have just went up and made the layup. Just go up and make the layup. Again, these are late game, last 30 seconds, last 60 seconds of the games that Zach isn't making the correct decisions. It's frustrating when Zach is doing everything in his power to help this team win, and for the majority of those games, he is the reason why the Bulls are winning games. It's just tough to kill him at the end, but again, this is his two weaknesses right now I can point out with confidence. One is turning the ball over. Two is late game decision making. Those are the two weaknesses in Zach LaVine's game right now. I think we've got him identified, and hopefully we can see a little bit of a transition throughout this season. And maybe 3 months from now, we're talking about Zach LaVine hitting these shots as opposed to missing them late in games. It would help if he had fucking teammates who could actually knock down a shot or two at the end of games, and to make this a little bit more secure, not having to do it himself time and time and time again. And again, it sounds like I'm being a Zach LaVine defender right now, but seriously, man, Kobe White was pathetic last night, and I get it. He's in a slump, man, but still, he was pathetic. Garrett Temple has been awful from three. He's shooting 2-for-23 in February from three, Matt. That man needs to stop shooting three-pointers. But
it's crazy because he started the season like shooting 42%.
I know,
downtown.
He was so good. It's just
December and January, Temple was raining threes, and then all of a sudden, you know, late Jan, early Feb hit, and it's just like, oh my God, this guy can't hit anything.
It's bad. So, I don't know. It comes in a combination of Kobe White being on a terrible shooting streak, too, and he can't knock down a three to save his life. So, again, the Bulls are being restricted again. It's like they shot pretty decently over the first few weeks of the season from three pretty well. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's gone into a slump. And without Markkanen, man, you can clearly tell the Bulls don't have any other three-point shooters. Denzel has been good in spots, but I don't know how reliable he's going to be over the next few weeks. We need to see.
I mean, I just, to me, it is an example of, yeah, okay, another night where Bulls fans on Twitter are crushing Zach for one possession towards the end of a game that doesn't go well. Where it's like, okay, cool. Do the Bulls have a chance to win that game against this measly opponent without Zach's 35 and 6, by the way? No, they don't. You're looking at the wrong things. How about the fact that as a team, the Bulls only managed to shoot 42% from the field and 30% from downtown against the second worst team in the league when it comes to opponents' field goal percentage? The Wizards' defense is a joke. We all know this. And the Bulls managed a measly 42% from the field? Really? Maybe that's a bigger thing than Zach LaVine not converting on a late-game layup. You got to look bigger picture when the Bulls cough up winnable games like this. I'm sorry, like you mentioned, you know, Kobe having a rough game, Temple going ice cold. Those two combined to go 0-for-9 from downtown last night. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of some of Zach's teammates just going ice cold in this last stretch of games. Kobe was brutal. And you know what? Kudos to Billy Donovan for drawing up that play late in the game that led to Kobe's, you know, big bucket to cut the Wizards lead to 1 on that, you know, running floater that he had. Because up until that point, as you said, Kobe had an awful night. It was the second game in a row where he didn't even register a single freaking point at halftime. Just a ghost. Not to mention getting burned on the defensive end. Getting burned on the defensive end by a dude named Raul Neto. I'm sorry, who? What? Why? And people want to slander Zach. Like, my God, people, open your eyes.
Raul Neto. Yeah, that was brutal to watch, man. It sucks, man. Kobe's in a funk right now, and I don't know. The only thing I will say about Kobe, and good on him, man, is he's actually taken Donovan's advice. You know that advice that we talked about maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago where Donovan's like, find other ways to contribute when your shot's not falling. He's doing that, man. Without Markkanen on the floor, without Carter on the floor, he registered 7 rebounds in the game before. He had 8 tonight. I don't know what he had on Friday, but it was pretty damn high as far as rebound number goes. So at least he's crashing the glass a little bit. He's trying to find other ways to contribute, and I appreciate that from Kobe. But again, it's tough to watch because I can see him struggling. You can see he wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he's just in a funk right now, man. I know he's a good shooter. We know it. We've seen it before. He's just in a bad funk, and it's coming at a bad time when the Bulls don't really have any other shooters on this team. I don't know. Maybe it's time to just let P. Will go off. Let P. Will start taking 15 shots a game. Let him start taking 4 or 5 threes a game and see what happens at this point, right?
Yes.
It can't get any worse. It can't get any worse than it was.
In some of these recent games where he's looked more aggressive, his minutes are up since, you know, Wendell went down. They're going to continue to stay up with Lauri Markkanen on the shelf for the next 2 to 4 weeks. He played 35 minutes in this Wizards game. And to me, it's like, yeah, you're a rookie. You don't want to put too much on him, just like you don't want to ask too much of an aging vet like that when it comes to, you know, his nightly minutes. But I mean, 7 shots for P-Dub last night in a game where you're playing, as I said, one of the worst defensive teams in the league. I think he could have looked to get more shots last night. Honestly, especially in the absence of Lowry, if P-Dub's not getting up 10 shots a night, I don't know what the hell we're doing. Because nobody, it appears at this point, is more important alongside Zach, if the Bulls do want to keep Zach and plan on keeping Zach, than the development of one Patrick Williams. Jordan, we got to also talk about the latest in the Lonzo Ball saga. And by the way, the Bulls and Pelicans are looking down the barrel at each other for a Wednesday night showdown. Lonzo and the Pelicans coming to town. So that being said, we've got some Lonzo rumors going on, but first want to tell our listeners about rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it's almost impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why often endure pointless or seemingly intimidating questions and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have a computer with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Rockauto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They've got everything: engine control modules and brake parts, tail lamps, motor oil, even new carpeting. Whether it's for your classic car or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, those prices at rockauto.com are reliably low, and the same for professionals as do-it-yourselfers. So why spend up to twice as much for the exact same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Be sure to write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Now you Jordan. Put Lonzo on there with all them athletes and running and gunning, hold guess on. What?
Jordan, the Lonzo sweepstakes are going crazy.
Let's go, man. I mean, nothing against P. Will. Love P. Will. Glad he's a Bull, but holy shit, man. LaMelo is going off, and I'd love to hear from some people that didn't want LaMelo at first, but I know we're talking about his brother. Again, I'm all for it, man, and I think the Bulls can get Lonzo at a decent price, too. The thing is now I'm starting to think that more and more it may come down to having to deal Lowry. Like, Lowry makes a lot of sense from the aspect that Lonzo's going to need a new contract, Lowry's going to need a new contract. Again, the big question is, are you willing to make that deal and take the chance on Lonzo, a young playmaking point guard that can't shoot consistently? Or are you going to willing to take the chance on the pure shooting kid that can't play a whole lot of defense right now in Lowry Markkanen? And who are you willing to pay long term? That's kind of where I sit, unless you think that the value has decreased on Lonzo so much so that you wouldn't have to include either one of those guys. Where do you kind of stand on the value of Lonzo and what it would cost for the Bulls to get him?
I mean, I think that a lot of Bulls fans are kind of where you are right now, thinking, man, it's probably going to come down to a Lonzo-Lowry swap, two guys from the 2017 draft class on expiring rookie deals, restricted free agents. Maybe each of them need a new, you know, just a change of scenery. And from the Bulls' perspective, I certainly get what Lonzo would bring. Some playmaking that this team desperately needs. Somebody who could pair pretty well with Zach LaVine in the backcourt. From the Pelicans' perspective, though, it's not as easy for me to say, yeah, they'd take that deal. Some Bulls fans might be stomping their feet saying, are you kidding me? I know Lowry can get hurt sometimes. He's hurt right now, but his ceiling is higher than Lonzo's. Maybe you believe that. And I wouldn't call you crazy if you do. But think about the Pelicans' pieces. If the Pelicans are looking to move on from Lonzo because they've got a couple young guards waiting in the wings, oh, and also they have an established, you know, young star duo in the front court of Zion and Ingram. You know, yes, they also have the young big Jackson Hayes. We'll see how things go with his development. You know, they're relying on some pretty big minutes from the vet, Steven Adams, who just arrived via trade. But their main front court pieces, Brandon Ingram, first-time All-Star last year, most improved player, dude is skyrocketing. And Zion is freaking Zion. So do they really want Lowry that badly? How does he fit into their puzzle?
It's a good question, man. I mean, can Lowry play the five next to Zion and Brandon Ingram? If he can do that, it makes a whole hell of a lot of sense, right? And even if they had to include Steven Adams in this deal, I think it would bulk it up and make it more interesting for the Bulls. On the Pelicans' flip side, they could go out in free agency and find a vet big to back up Lowry if things don't work out. They also have Jackson Hayes there, too. He's way farther along. He needs more player development and more progress and playing time to be an actual piece of that team going forward. But that might certainly be a possibility. You had mentioned something to me yesterday before we started recording, talking about Lonzo's preferred destination. Where did you see that and what was it saying? Because I had something to follow on that a couple of years ago that kind of lined up with that.
So it was, I believe, HP Basketball was one of the first places to talk about it. And then I also think I saw something from The Ringer. I think it was actually O'Connor from The Ringer who echoed the initial report from, you know, some random NBA Twitter account saying that he's heard similar things as far as if the Pelicans are dealing Lonzo, he and his agent have made it known and put it out there that he has a list of, you know, preferred destinations and that the Bulls might be at the top of that list, the preferred destinations.
So funny you bring that up. It for whatever reason, I remembered this. Back when Lonzo, right before Lonzo got dealt to New Orleans, New Orleans and LA were finding a sticking point, is they needed to try and get a third team involved in order to deal Lonzo. The Pelicans weren't completely sold on taking Lonzo back as a trade piece in that deal. Ultimately, it had happened, but just over 2 years ago, Matt, this report came out from the LA Times from Brad Turner. It said although Lonzo Ball has no say in where he lands in a trade, his preference would be for the Lakers to find a third team such as Chicago or New York as a landing spot for the second-year point guard if he was part of a deal for New Orleans Pelicans star Anthony Davis, according to sources not authorized to speak publicly. So that's the second time he's been connected to Chicago. This obviously makes sense, man. He wants to go to a big market team, and it being Chicago, being New York, he was already in LA. He wants to go back to a big market. Makes sense from his standpoint, man. He can make a shitload of money here in a big market if he plays halfway decent. So combine that with the fact that he's still only 23 years old. He's the playmaker that we haven't had for the last 5 years. It's, again, just going to come down to what are you willing to give up in order to get him? Or are you willing to roll the dice and say, hey, we'll go throw the bag at him this summer. Hopefully another team doesn't match around where we're looking at to sign him. Those are two big questions, and it leaves me wondering but very anxious about the possibility of the Bulls pursuing Lonzo Ball. This is something that I think could make this team very, very good. Honestly, though, Matt, does that change your thoughts about like Zach LaVine getting moved or any other pieces on this team moving if they do make a move for Lonzo?
Meaning that it might cost Zach to get Lonzo? What are you saying?
No, like if they do trade for Lonzo, are they anticipating hey, you know what, maybe we'll be patient with Zach, see how he plays with Lonzo, alongside Lonzo, or does it mean, now we're going to rebuild around a very, very young core roster, and maybe Zach is another piece that we can trade away to get young assets in return?
I see. Zach and Lonzo are kind of similar trajectory career-wise, not talent, but, you know, age and where they are in their career. Obviously Zach's been in the league, you know, a few years longer, but you know, Lonzo is Lowry's draft class. We've been talking about a Zach and Lowry core for years now. So I don't necessarily think a Lonzo trade to bring him to the Bulls changes anything about what AK and his new, you know, front office colleagues and Donovan's staff view about Zach's plans. And I think that this season, Zach is proving a couple of things. He is an elite scorer. He is an all-star level scorer. You know, we just got the comments from Beal after the game last night saying, yeah, Zach's got my vote. This dude's an all-star for sure. He's getting better every year. He has not reached his ceiling yet. And the dude is going to command something around a max contract, and he will absolutely be worth it. And people who don't believe that need to open their eyes. And I think that the Bulls' new front office is aware that Zach isn't good enough himself and that they need to put the right pieces around him. And I would not be opposed to seeing them give up one of these other young pieces to try and get Lonzo in a swap, sign Lonzo to a modest but fair contract extension off of his rookie deal, or, you know, a modest, you know, restricted free agent contract, and see if his pairing in the backcourt works better than Kobe and Zach. Because guess what? 25 or so games in, and I already told you, I'm out. Kobe and Zach as a starting backcourt together doesn't work, ain't working, won't work. They're the same player. Zach is a better version of Kobe. More, you know, further along in his career development. So let's try something else.
Lonzo, from a physical standpoint, fits everything AK has tried to mold this team early on around, right? Switchable on defense, long, lengthy, can pass, can move off the ball. All of those things line up with what AK wanted to do with this roster, at least early on, man. I said it to you in preseason, the Bulls have the most insane wingspan on this team. It's in, like, 12 of the guys on this team have a wingspan of 6'7 or longer. It's ridiculous. So he kind of fits that mold. That makes sense. And again, banking on a guy that has bounced around a couple of different places and taking a chance on being able to develop him. I'm thinking about just the pure fact of what AK was doing in Denver when everybody said, no, don't take Bol Bol. Look at what he did with Bol Bol. Different circumstance, but same thing with MPJ. They were in a position to do that from a position of wealth and an advantage, but they took a risk on MPJ and it ended up halfway decently working out. At least it seems like it's working out. The only thing with this trade, Matt, is the thing that I would ask you is, would the Pelicans be willing to do a deal where it's not including Lowry, it's not including Wendell, it's not including Zach, and it's not including Kobe, but instead maybe sending Otto and Chandler Hutchison and maybe Satoransky to fill that point guard role for them right now, sending those guys to the Pelicans for Lonzo Ball and Steven Adams? This would free up almost $35 million in cap space for the summer for them to spend on, instead of having to kind of wait and see through another season of what they were trying to do. At some point that they have to get competitive and get competitive quickly. So this would kind of give them a chance to reload in the summer of 2021. You think that they're weighing that option at all?
I mean, they being the Pelicans?
Correct.
Maybe. Also, would those contracts even line up? Is Adams and Lonzo collectively enough to match that?
So, Adams is making $29 million this season, but he's only owed $17 million over the next two seasons because OKC took on a part of his contract for the final 2 years. So the Bulls would only owe him $17 million in 2021-22 and 2022-23. Lonzo's owed $11 million this year, and he's got the qualifying offer, which was extended but denied at $14 million. So yeah, you're right around $30 million, or you're right around $40 million. You throw Otto, Sato, and Chandler Hutchison, and you're right there, man. You're at $37-38 million.
I mean, maybe just the, like you said, finding some spot minutes in the rotation where Sato can be useful to them.
I think Hutch would be the most useful piece for them. They don't have any backup wings, man. Their team is depleted on the wing position. Like, Josh Hart was the one that has been playing the three, and he's been grabbing rebounds left and right, so that kind of makes sense to me.
That's true, and if the only reason that Hutch is going through this weird personal excused absence right now, whatever, is because he's unhappy because he's not playing and the Bulls are getting ready to trade him, then that makes sense. If that's not what's going on, and there's something larger at play there, then that becomes a very red flag for the Pelicans, who might not be eager to bring in a guy like that. You know, and grand scheme, I think the Pelicans would still try to get at least one of those young pieces that the Bulls have. Yes, cap space is enticing, and clearing money off your books is always a big motivating factor when you're looking to make some trades before the deadline and looking ahead, especially for a young team that's hopefully on the rise like the Pelicans are with Zion and Ingram and them. But, I mean, is that enough?
I don't,
for you to move on from that player, from that caliber of a player, from that highly drafted of a player. I don't know.
The only thing that makes me question is if the Pelicans are completely out on re-signing Lonzo, which it seems like that's kind of the trend that's going on there, which is fine.
Yeah, they got Lewis Jr. and they got, you know, who else? They've got another young
guard. And Nikhil Alexander Walker.
Thank you, Alexander Walker. Yeah, like they, you know, and it seems like those were the initial reports. It's like, yeah, we're open to trading Lonzo because we want to play these other guys' minutes.
I mean, J.J. Redick is probably heading to a contender, but he's also somebody that has a decent chunk of salary, too, that needs to be moved. And he's a free agent at the end of the year as well. The only thing that I would be hesitant on is trading one of the young pieces for just Lonzo and maybe a throw-in. Like, at that point, it doesn't do me enough. And I don't think it does our front office enough to go out and get him. They would rather risk roll the dice in free agency and say, hey, let's see if we can get somebody to match for us. That's how I feel. Until anything else happens over the next couple of weeks, it's kind of where I've been at for the last month or so on Lonzo. Is like, if I'm having to give up, I don't want to have to overpay for Lonzo, especially because he's a restricted free agent. That's where I sit. But I love his game, and man, and I still think he's got a ton of potential at 23.
here's the last thing that I want to get your thoughts on, Jordan, before we wrap this up. When it comes to Lonzo, here's what gives me pause. Let's run down his shooting splits so far this season. I know we talked about this in an earlier episode where I was saying I'm a little hesitant on Lonzo because have you looked at his shooting? December this season, in five December games, 39.7 from the field, 28.6 from behind the three-point line, and 55.6 at the free throw line. Awful, awful, awful. In 10 January games, his overall field goal percentage basically stayed the same, you know, up half a percent to 40.2. Three-point percentage up a significant amount from 28.5% to 33.8% from downtown. Bumped up his free throw percentage from 55.5% to 66.5%. Through his first four games in February, field goal percentage bumped up from 40 all the way to 50%. Three-point percentage up to a gaudy 55.6%, up from 33.8%. And free throw percentage continuing to bump up from 66.7% to 75 flat. Significant jumps through his first 3 months of the season. Are you buying the consistency of Lonzo figuring out his shot and getting his shot on the right track? Or are you concerned that his shooting will fall, you know, or crash back to earth?
Can I say TBA or TBD, to be determined? Because, man, I go back to his numbers before the shutdown last year, and he shot really well. He was on fire, man. He was shooting 40% from three. And again, this is only in 16 games. Shooting 40% from three, only 42% overall. Okay, that's not great. And his free throw numbers were terrible again, too. 56% in pre-All-Star and post-All-Star break. But he was averaging 12, 6, and 7. I mean, that is, we don't need him to be a scorer. You got Kobe, you've got Zach, maybe even keep Markkanen, and you still have Markkanen too. And you got P. Will that you hopefully develop into a shooter. So I don't think that Lonzo necessarily would have to worry so much about being a scoring first playmaker out there. It's a, hey, go out there and see if you can rack up 8 to 10 assists tonight and help Zach LaVine average 30 a night. That's what I think his role would be coming in. And I would feel confident too in Billy Donovan and Mo Cheeks and all the other coaches that they have around there to help whatever is going on with Lonzo's shot, help to fix that. I think having a guy like Zach next to you, though, multiple shooters, multiple ball handlers would only help Lonzo. But then again, maybe I'm just thinking with the glass half full at this point. But I don't know, man. Like, at 23 years old, though, are you willing to write him off as, hey, it's always going to be inconsistent, it's never going to change, he's never going to be able to develop a consistent shot? I don't know if I'm willing to bank on that yet. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, like, you're not wrong with your logic and the other elements of what Lonzo can provide. I just, dude, those shooting splits are just crazy to me. Like, that is insane levels of change through just, you know, basically 2 months' time, you know, over the course of a season. Those are wildly different splits, and I've always worried about Lonzo's shooting consistency. So yes, as much as I appreciate his playmaking ability, I still think that your starting point guard has got to be able to knock down shots, and I am hesitant to trust those shooting splits that we're seeing from Lonzo in his recent games, because they're crazy. They're absolutely crazy.
He was awful in the bubble too, man. In seven games, the one game they played in July, he didn't knock down a single three. He shot 15% in that one game. And then in the six games in August in the bubble, he shot 34.8% from the field and 32.1% from three. He was actually a decent free throw shooter at 71.4%, but he averaged 7.7, 4.8, and 6.5. So that's not going to cut it. But I don't know, man. I think I'm willing to roll the dice still. I'm definitely willing to roll the dice. I'm way more hesitant if it costs you one of your young players, whether it be White, Markkanen, or Carter. Again, I would love to hear from our fans, though. I'd love to hear from Bulls fans. And I know this is definitely a polarizing topic too, and I'm sure we're going to get a ton of mailbag questions kind of following up on this. But if you want to, you can do that at 331-979-1369. Your text messages, your voicemails. If you want to shoot us an email with maybe a longer thought, or you don't have access to our text and voicemail line, we're at LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. We'll take your emails as well. You can always tweet at us at LockedOnBulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
He had the eye pass going, and then you see Hutch go right through. I don't have to pay the $1.50, baby. I'm going for free.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com.
Today's episode of Locked On Bulls was brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a set of 10 uniquely beautiful diamond rings, and they're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com. This exciting collection of truly unique limited edition diamond engagement rings is available now only at BlueNile.com.
Thanks a lot.